When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. Oh.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
Found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis.
I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Well, and welcome back to Section Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. We have Greg Pappas on the board. Finally, we're on today. We were waiting outside for an hour as our building's electronic lock system seems to have conked out over the weekend, which is always good on I suppose if it was a real nice day, Greg, and a lot of nice-looking people were walking by, it wouldn't be so bad, but on a cold day with nobody there, it wasn't the best, was it?
Not great. Not ideal.
Fortunately, the firemen let us in the place, so we didn't have to freeze the whole time. So do we have Mr. Kevin?
You got me, and it looks like you got John online,
yep.
Too.
Well, there we go.
Good morning, all.
We got two guys, and I had lunch on Saturday with two guys that are way more, or with a guy who is way more right wing than either one of you guys. Are you jealous?
No.
I guess that's possible. I don't...
Well, I didn't realize that the whole name, image, and likeness was a liberal plot, but evidently it is.
I'd be pretty hard pressed to come up with that. It sounds very, very free market to me.
Yeah, it's But anyway, we had a long discussion. Obviously, we're going to talk something about that today, talk about some of the markets.
Is the George Soros funding the college football teams now?
Oh, who knows? Whatever it is well, someday the guy's going to die, and who's it going to be? First it was...
His son's already running the company. So.
Oh, it is? Jesus.
Yeah.
Sort of like Belichick's kid's going to run North Carolina, right? Isn't that the story there?
Yeah, either that or Belichick's girlfriend. I'm not sure which.
Oh, God. The guy's... She's young, right? Supposedly,
like 24 years old. Yeah,
that's
he's in his 70s. Good job, Coach Belichick.
Yeah, good for him. Oh, God, what do you make of the whole? Let's start there. What do you make of the whole weekend with the college stuff? I mean, Kevin, you've been on spot on that. In NBA, you can have everybody make the playoffs. And you don't beat people up. I mean, the Bulls have no chance of, like, beating the Celtics in a 5-game series. I mean, zero. But they play anyway just to make it longer. But at least you don't have, you know, guys carted off the field in basketball that often. But in football, man, it sure seemed like some of these games weren't all that even. And plus, I don't believe Arizona State or Boise are going to do any good against the teams they're playing, do you?
I don't know what to expect of Boise because I haven't seen them. Is the league that challenging? Not really. So I wouldn't be predicting a big time victory for them, but I will see them next week, so I'll report back. No problem there. I go back to what I said after the conference championship games, and I think it extends here too. They're great. As long as people are interested enough in them to watch and to go, and they make a lot of money, and I suppose that's fine, you know, and the players are getting a pretty, you know, a much better share of it now than they used to. But from a football standpoint, it's just not serving much purpose. What we learned last weekend, and so let's compartmentalize the spectacle part of it, and we can come back to that. But just from a football standpoint, I think what we learned is what we've known all along. There probably aren't more than 2, 3, maybe 4 teams that have a chance to win the whole thing. And everybody else is just out there, taking up space. And the only issue that I have with that, because you can run a playoff that way, and, you know, most leagues' playoffs are that way, it's just that in a game that is so given to injuries, all you're really doing is getting guys hurt on the top teams, and if you get enough of them hurt, then you're going to dilute your subsequent rounds, because they're not going to have their best players on the field, or they're not going to have several of their best players on the field. We're already going to see that with Georgia. Their quarterback got hurt in their conference championship game.
Yeah, he's not, but the other kid's pretty good, but still.
Well, he's talented. We don't know if he's good or not.
Yeah, well, this guy's not going to play? The guy landed right on his arm. Would he screw up his elbow or something?
It was just hanging on.
Yeah.
When they had to send him in for one play to hand off, it just looked like he was holding his arm in place so that it wouldn't fall off.
Yeah, the guy really hacked him right in the middle of throwing. So, it's, you know, I don't, somewhere lost in this whole mess is, if you go see a football, I'll go back to the, I'll keep the story short, I promise, is Pete Najarian got me down to see when Charlie Weiss was there and what's his name? The guy who ended up coaching Seattle was still Pete Carroll. Pete Najarian and Pete Carroll, pretty good buddies. So we got in to see the Southern Cal's workout in Notre Dame Stadium. You know, I'm shaking hands with Pete Carroll and introduced myself, and it was kind of cool. You see, all of a sudden, you know, 4 or 5 guys bigger than me walk by. And okay, that's the defensive line. Then you see like 7 or 8 of these kind of Samoan sort of dudes, big, huge guys, only wider. Like, okay, there's the O-line. Then you got some quarterbacks. And then you have probably 30, 40 guys that are, 6'2", 210, real fast, probably make great lacrosse players or something. But they're not getting, nobody's got this kind of depth. And when you get to the end of the season, like Kevin was talking very eloquently, if you lose your playoff game, essentially get in the loser's bracket, and still make it to the championship if you're that good, read Penn State or somebody like that, you're talking 5 postseason games. But I don't think anybody puts that number together, guys. I mean, I really don't. But it's 5 postseason games against serious competition. And you don't have a practice squad like the pros. You don't have guys that, should be able to walk right in. I don't see how any college team, except maybe now Ohio State or Alabama in the old days, with this NIL and the portal, I don't see any team having the personnel to be able to do that, do you? And at a real level.
Well, it certainly depends on which position. Now, I don't think there's any team, college or pro, that is likely to sustain a loss of its quarterback and still go on and win the championship. It has happened. Most recently, Philadelphia with, what was the guy's name? The Bears signed him for a year and he was terrible for them.
I know what you're talking about. Forget his name.
I can't remember his name, but that guy, and, we can go back to an Earl Morrill or Washington with, when they had
Plunkett, right? Was he a replacement?
No, not Washington with Plunkett. He played for the Raiders. Washington had Sonny Jurgensen and
Joe Theismann,
Billy Kilmer, and then they had a rookie Joe Theismann returning kicks.
Yeah. Well, you're all you have to do is look at TCU last year. They were terrific, and in one game, but they're All-American, all-world halfback, and one of the guys on the defensive line got hurt next week. They lost like 50-0, right?
Yep. So here's the other part. And John, did you watch any of Friday night's game?
I did. Yeah. I watched most of it. My niece got a ticket at the last minute. She and her friends, or their recent graduates, pulled their money, got a ticket, and then they had a little, I think, lottery themselves. She got the tickets, so she was at the game.
Oh, good for her. And did you get any feedback from her on that?
No, not yet. I'll see her at Christmas, but I haven't talked to her. Yeah.
Actually,
I have to watch all these games now with the sound off, because the crowd roar is, I mean, this is the whole purpose for it, because it's really distracting, but it also has a painful, you know, quality now in my declining years when my hearing isn't that great anyway. I just can't deal with the rumble in the background all the time.
Actually, Kevin, one of Audrey's best friends, Kathy McGrath, and she's a Notre Dame graduate, her nephew got two tickets and drove her down there. She said they had the absolute best time. They get home to like 2:30. Of course, the toll roads.
And that's where I was going to go next, Tom. It's exactly where I was going to go next. So I can speak for the local flavor. I don't know, you know, how it was at Ohio State. I know a lot of Tennessee fans made the trip. There weren't as many. There were a lot of Indiana fans up here, because there are a lot of Indiana fans here living here in the first place. So that was good. But the vibe around town, the presentation of the game, the way the university went out of their way to make sure students could attend, and so on, there was a lot of, from the football weekend point of view, it was way better than I imagined it would be, than I thought it would be. I thought it would be a tough sell to sell out the place. I'm sure it had, at this time of year, I'm sure some of that was that you had enough Indiana fans that there was always going to be big interest in this. So the matchup had something to do with it. But I really think they put the best foot forward for the university, and I think that was, you know, that was a good thing for them.
Well, Kevin, I think there's no doubt. We're going to feed Nancy on in a minute, but she can just pile in with us. But there's no doubt that the market for football, right now at least, is greater than the ability of people to play that many games. Just duh, it is, right? I mean, if you played football to April, you'd probably be still get people betting on it and so forth. But how much does this travel? What you just said, I think, is absolutely true. But does that mean we need 64 teams in the playoff? And
that doesn't mean we need. It doesn't mean we need the setup the way it is. You heard what I said about it. I don't think it makes any sense from a football standpoint, and we've talked for years on this show about that it's pretty abusive, especially when you consider the age group involved, because they're not as mature as they're going to be, as physically mature as they're going to be when they're pros, and even then it takes a huge toll on their bodies, on their life, life expectancies, and so on. So, I'm not a fan of the idea. I'm at least able to a little bit compartmentalize the experience of the game versus whether we should be playing it or not.
Well, if you were to, I'm not going to say there's people that are unclear on the concept in the world, but I'm going to say there's some people unclear on the concept. If you were to say that in a bar tonight anywhere, not that you guys ever go into one, or a coffee shop, every single person is going to say, what's the problem? They're getting paid. They should play 50 games if we want them to, or they're getting paid.
Yeah, well, I understand that. I just don't think it's, I don't think it's advisable, you know, for their health. And even with what they're getting paid, very few of them are getting paid anything that represents the economic value that they create for the schools.
No, go ahead, Brent. John,
do you see do you see any connection with the birth of the Super Bowl? I'm trying to go back into ancient history here and remember justifications for the postseason process. That was what, 1966-67, and it was to create certainty about who was the national championship, You regularize the whole postseason process in a way that was, new to pro football, and we've now had, 60 years of that. Is this an extension of that? Is it the same kind of?
It might be, John. It might, as I think back and as I listen to you say that, what has been happening for years is an attempt to engineer a championship that everybody will accept as the championship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you remember back in the days of when it was just polls, it was just people voting, and there was always some controversy about it, always some disagreement, or not always, there was often some disagreement about who had the best team and who should have been called the national championship. So then they tried to engineer it so that they would get the top two teams, but there was still disagreement about who the number three team was and whether the number three team should have gotten a shot. So then they tried to do, you know, they started with the, what they called the Bowl Championship Series that was, matched up teams and see how it shakes out. And then they tried to do the four team, and there was always a fifth team that was not out of it. So, you know, this is satisfying a fan demand to get a real national championship. And I think if you can emerge from a 12-team tournament, or God help us if they expand it to 16, which I'm sure they will, I'm sure it will be accepted as the legitimate national championship once and for all, and nobody's going to be bitching about whether the number 17 team should have gotten in there. But you get to be at what cost? Because I don't think, any more than I think the NFL really, really cares about the safety of the players, I think the NFL
cares. I think they care about them a lot more because they pay them a lot more.
Well, they do, but I think from the NFL standpoint, they care about the safety of the equipment and consider the players part of the equipment in many cases. So we may be seeing that same phenomenon. But if we really care about these alleged student athletes, I think that we probably wouldn't be doing this.
Well, I've always had this rail about the NCAA basketball. The whole world is convinced that the winner of the tournament should be the national champion. To me, you have a full season, and then you have a postseason tournament. That if you started 8 times in a row, virtually every year you'd have 8 different champions. It's not like UCLA's around anymore. It just sweeps through it every year. It's a different thing. You could have it like the year that DePaul had the world's best team. Weren't they undefeated during the season, and somebody got hurt in the playoffs and they lost? They were still the best team when O'Guire and those guys were there, but they didn't win the tournament. I mean, it's a different thing. I mean, you could win.
Yeah, a 64 team tournament is not going to set you up so that the best team in the country wins. It's going to be the hot team that can win 6 in a row,
or the team doesn't really hurt.
Yeah, and so it's. I agree with you that it's, but we have managed to get that where everybody says, well, at least it's decided on the court, so we will accept it as the national champion. And I think that's what they're really, that's probably the one thing they accomplish out of having this expanded playoffs, is that it will be decided on the field, for better or for worse.
Right. Do we have Nancy, Greg? I don't know. Is she on or not?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Well, how are your Bears doing, Nance?
Oh my God! Let's not even discuss that.
Yeah, why would you do such a thing to such a nice woman in the
it's
morning?
It's Monday.
Well, at least she didn't reach for the short sword, as they say.
No, the quickest answer to that is what Bears, and I shut them off.
God, so what do you think about Ron Rivera? People putting his name in the hat. Do you think why would he want this job? He knows these guys inside and out.
Are they saying Ron Rivera should be?
Well, it was in the Bear Nation yesterday. Somehow or another, when I kick my phone out, I get all these guys that write for the Cubs and the Bears. And how these dudes get their article there, I have no idea, because half of them don't sound like they have any idea what they're doing. Let's trade John Flanagan for Babe Ruth. Okay, I guess we could do that.
There's a trade.
who are the Yankees going to add to sweeten the pot?
Yeah.
If we're going to give up John, they're going to have to come up with a lot more than Babe Ruth.
Some guy last week wrote one about the Bears draft this year, and I guess I got a bunch of draft picks. He's got them picking, trading down, getting somebody good in the first round, trading down, getting a starting left tackle in the second round, a starting guard in the second round, and a terrific center in the third round. I'm going, what planet is this guy coming from? They're going to get four stars.
I don't even read that stuff, Tom. I don't even read that stuff.
It's pretty scary, but. Interesting discussion with a couple of guys. That one guy played football for Notre Dame on Saturday, and John and I talked about it a lot yesterday. And Nance, feel free to opine in. I don't think that and these guys were talking about, you know, somebody's got to make these rules. I don't think anybody is in position to make any rules right now. Anybody who decides to bring in the rules is going to say, who you get? Why do you get to, essentially combine all this stuff together and make rules and say these kids can't do this or can't do that? This is crazy. When do you think the world is going to figure out that the colleges are no longer the farm system for the pros? Are now a competitor of the pros. You think the pros have figured this out? Nance, you first.
Oh, I have no idea. I love watching football, but half the time I can't find the games. I don't know if I have the right channel or not. I mean, it's crazy. But I did watch the Notre Dame game, and I'm surprised her Kathy won.
Yeah, she had the warmers in her feet and her hands and the whole bit. She was fine.
Wow.
What'd you think of the ridiculous kick thing before the game? Did you guys see that? What was that all about? $250,000?
Yeah, I didn't see it. I was out and about.
They must have had 10,000 people stacked up watching that thing in front of the library. It was some kind of somebody from the stands or one of the mopes walking around half drunk. If you could kick the ball, like, was it a 50-yard field goal? Everybody thinks they can do it. Well, of course, nobody. Some guy goes in, he goes to kick it, he falls right on his ass. They give him another chance, he falls on his ass again. What's with this guy? But what do you think happened on the ratings thing? Did you check that out, Jen?
I'm just trying to scan around now and see if there are some overnight ratings. And let's see what we have here. CBS. Let's see. Is there something that gives us our Saturday ratings on this website?
By the way, you did notice that the game on Saturday, the two games during the day, were not on ESPN.
No, they were on Turner.
Because evidently ESPN's contract with the NFL is they can never put a college game on against a NFL game. So somehow or another they kicked it to Turner. I did not know that.
Well, they TNT's involved in a lot of college sports anyway, including the what do you call them?
NCAA. They're NCAA.
NCAA tournament. Yeah, they're big on that. So if we are looking at, Penn State. I am not seeing.
I didn't see any type of ratings yet.
I'm trying to look at the see if I can find the daytime ratings here, because Penn State, Clemson, SMU. I'm looking at these. I'm not seeing Saturday NFL on here. So I don't know if that means they weren't in the top ones. I'll keep looking. We can talk about it.
We should have the final numbers on Thursday anyway. So Nance, while you're here, and we don't get to see you that often, what's going on in the mortgage world? Are rates continuing to creep after the run up in the 10-year last week?
Yeah, and I'm going to drop off and leave you guys. So nice chatting with everybody.
All right, Kevin.
Kevin,
take care.
Have a good Christmas to you and your family.
Same to you, and same to all of you and all of our listeners.
Nance, what's going on in the mortgage world? We got to at least cover that.
I just think I found Notre Dame was ranked number 3. So yep. Weren't they ranked 4 and now they're up 1?
Well, yeah, but it doesn't matter because out of the teams that become the top 4 to get the buys are the 4 best conference championships. So the Irish were ranked ahead of Boise and Arizona State, but it didn't matter. That's how they dropped down. So they essentially gave them the home game against Indiana, which was nice, but now they have to play Georgia instead of having to play one of the other crummier teams, shall we say. I don't think they can beat Georgia, but the home team only, or the visiting team only got 3,500 tickets or 3,400 tickets, even at Ohio State with 100,000 people there. That's wild.
I did not know that.
And evidently, all the ticket prices were set by whoever the Bowl Series are, the Chicago Football Bowl, whoever those guys are. What is that, John? Is that some kind of another organization that's separate from...
some fraternal group I don't belong to.
Yeah, no kidding. But evidently, they set the ticket prices, and they get all the ticket money. Goes to them. And the Irish, from what I understand, got $4 million, being the home team. Indiana got $3 million. Now, evidently, from our sources, the Irish weaseled a deal, which they're pretty good at, that they put a ticket charge on top, like $10 a ticket or something, on the cheap seats. And there were some, you know, end zone upper deck were cheaper. What are they, John? $250, $150, and $100 or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that. And I think the charges were $10, $20, and $30. So they got to keep the ticket charges, evidently. And they also got all the parking and all the concessions. So they, you know, they ended up with a huge haul. But I'm stunned that the visiting team only got 3,500 people or 3,400 tickets. Now, what happened at Ohio State, from what I understand, and Kevin was talking about how the Irish, they're in a semester system, and we know this because we went there, it goes pretty late. And they were supposed to have exams over, I think, Saturday or something, or Friday, but they ended up saying, okay, you guys can stay after your exams for the weekend, and they'll keep the dorms and the dining halls open. So unless somebody just wanted to beat feet home, the students were able to hang there and be part of this. Ohio State, I think, on the other stand, now there's a lot of kids still probably living there, but I think that's, you know, they got, what, 50,000 kids go to Ohio State, Jan or Sergeant and Nance? Those guys have been gone for like 2 weeks. So evidently, what Carl was saying Friday is all these tickets opened up in Columbus for, you know, not even face price, evidently. And everybody from Tennessee was buying them and getting a car and driving up there. Because it's not that far from Tennessee to Columbus. So there was a lot of orange in Columbus because the students evidently weren't there, right? I didn't watch the Penn State game that closely as the students were there or not, but obviously it's a big difference if you got a massive state university if your students are there or not. But that's how the money kind of went down. Now, I don't know how they split the Sugar Bowl up and that kind of stuff. Maybe we'll find out as we go. But anyway, that's my report on it. So let's talk a little bit of real estate. Nance, anything? What's going on? I mean, Audrey's still got some people. Normally, I mean, the weather's been decent, so. There have been years that you guys have been snowed out for by now, but we're not this year.
Right, that is correct. I mean, yesterday we had an open house, and I thought that for sure, I was wondering if we were sane or not, but we did have like four or five couples come through, and then she had four showings after that, which I thought was unusual. Maybe it's because the Bears are just doing so poorly. People are just,
well, yeah.
They've moved up their timelines this year or something. I don't know, but it was strange.
Well, I said you guys had the one couple that they absolutely love the house. They live real close to it. They said they've always loved it, but they got a 2 7/8 mortgage and they can't move. Did you talk to them as well?
Yeah, I did. I asked them what their mortgage rate was, and I think they said 2 2/3 or something like that. And then I said, well, you really should think about this because of what you're leaving, right?
Yeah.
And I said rates have gone down, and they really. In my opinion, they haven't. The 10-year hasn't gone down at all. In fact, it's creeped up. So you're at least looking at in the sixes, you know, closer to, you know, a little over the sevens. So, you know, depending what your situation is, blah, blah, blah. But there's a big difference between
two. Well, it's hard to give up 5 points or 4.5.
It's just like, wow. And but they said they've been looking, they've been wanting to do this for a long time. His house has finally become available. However, you know, you're right about the interest rates. How do you give that up? And I don't ever think we're going to see, you know, twos or threes again. So it's a huge question. Huge.
Well, without entering a political discussion, although probably end up there, when see what happens with inflation and why it is such a horrendous thing to do to people, because it catches everybody at some point. The Trump tax cuts, and well, I don't know, the right wingers, John can defend him, which I'm sure he will. You know, the idea that the guy in Connecticut, which was a blue state, being able to, you know, take off all his mortgage interest on his $1 million house, we weren't going to allow that. So all of a sudden, we're going to say anything over $10,000 you can't deduct. Well, here we are. And it wasn't Trump or the Republicans or the Democrats' fault. COVID shows up, although maybe it was our fault. Maybe we gave money to the Wuhan lab, but let's not go down there today. Anyway, and now it's almost like the alternative minimum tax. How many people countrywide have a tax, property taxes of over $10,000? All kinds of people now, right?
That is, yep. I mean, that is correct. So
I mean, you can still deduct your mortgage interest. There's no limit on that, is there? I don't think there is. Is there?
I think it's $10,000, isn't it, John?
It's on taxes.
It's $10,000 for taxes. I don't think there's a limit on them.
I don't know if you can do that. You can't do the second house anymore, though, can you? I'm not a tax.
No.
You used to be able to do like your vacation home. You could deduct that too, right? Your mortgage interest.
Yeah, you used to. Yeah.
But an awful lot of people have a $10,000 tax thing. Everybody in Lincoln Park does, and I don't think it was intended for everybody, but now it is.
Right. I mean, Will County, DuPage, all of it has that, as far as I know.
I mean, I don't know.
Nancy, they're all up there.
Go ahead, John.
Do you see any shift in your clients with people who are, you know, entering the real estate market as investors, you know, to buy multifamily, multi-unit buildings, and not owner-occupied? Is there any kind of movement in one direction or the other? And I'm thinking since COVID, that probably spooked a lot of potential landlords when they saw, you know, the government suspending, you know, people's rent payments, but not their mortgage payments. And I'm wondering if that's caused a difference in the number of people who are interested in real estate purely as an investment and not just, you know, creating a house for another house.
I know when that happened, there was a big backlash in Cook County, because I don't think that was every county. I think it was just strictly Cook. So I know there's big backlash in Cook on that idea, but there's been a backlash against Cook ever since they said you can't, you know, in the winter you can't kick people out and all that other they have some other rules that, you know, other counties do not have. But there's only, and I found this statistic kind of surprising, usually there's always like 4 to 6, there's at least 6 weeks of available housing on the market. There's less than 4 weeks now. So, I mean, there just isn't investment properties. There just isn't anything available to purchase, which is hard to believe, but it's true.
Well, is it because, I mean, what would happen if all of a sudden it broke out? You know, where, what do you think? I mean, in an area, fortunately, Chicago is, you know, is fairly diverse, and it doesn't normally happen here. But what if you had some huge layoff in a smaller town? I don't think the prices are sustainable here. I honestly don't. But you know, I've said that for like a long time. I mean, I wonder what would happen. And when I go back to this, my contributor to the show, our friend Robin, who obviously didn't make it through the year, but she when they moved out to New Jersey, they were in the same area where Lucent was. Got to remember that name?
Yep.
For those that don't remember, Lucent used to be the world's highly welded stock. It was Ameritech.
Yeah, that's what
it was. It was Western Electric Ameritech. It was Illinois Bell. And, well, not Illinois Bell. It was Ameritech. And they had, when that place went under, she said like 5 houses on the block went up for sale. And her son Max, he had like 25 kids in class, and all of a sudden next year he had 15. And all the housing prices just plummeted. And there's no, I don't know that if, I think the thing you and Audrey always talk about, the fact that there's nothing on the market because nobody can afford to move, I think some of that's keeping the prices up. Do you agree with that or not?
I agree. It absolutely is, but there's no availability because people can't afford to go. I mean, Saturday night I was at just someone's home, and the wife was saying, making a statement that they went to the grocery store, really didn't even buy any meat or anything like that, just bought like the stuff they need for Christmas dinner, but not any of the meat of it, and they spent $500. She said, yeah. It's getting crazy, and when you've got that going on, people are really planting their feet and not moving because they realize what's going on. And I do believe that, to answer your question, I do believe that the mortgage companies are still adding, not instead of foreclosing, they're adding to the back of loans to keep people in their houses. So So in other words, if you miss three or four payments, they just add whatever you missed to the back of a loan. And unfortunately, that's hiding a lot of what's really going on.
Well, sure
it's
it is.
It's not even coming out.
I think the emergency stuff, as a matter of fact, I'm going to write in this morning. I wrote in real early. You wouldn't know that by the time we started the show. But they got something on News Radio 78 where a guy's talking about what a mistake it is to put an emergency expense on your credit card. And I'm sitting at this going, no bleep back, man. You don't want to put it on your credit card. Where else are you going to put it?
Right.
Right. There is no other choice.
And then, well, the other is borrow from family or go get a loan on your house or something. But you got to put on the credit card. You can't get a loan on your house at the same time you're walking out of the emergency room with your kid, right? It's got to be on a credit card at least for a little while, doesn't it?
Correct. So that's what I'm saying. There isn't any other place to put it at that point. That's what the credit card is there for. The idea is to pay it off, but people are using credit cards just to live. And the credit card debt in this country is huge, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And they keep raising the interest rates, so I can't even imagine.
What do you mean? When the Fed dropped their rates last week, all the, I won't say morons, but ill-informed people and CNBC, all they were doing was chuckling how everybody's credit card rate's going to go down. Credit card rates are at all-time highs, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Fed lowering the rate has absolutely zero to do with the credit card companies. Zero.
What did you you know, we had a thing last week. I thought I sent around to you guys that the spread between prime rate and the credit card rate has never been higher. It's like 14% premium that somebody's paying versus prime.
Yeah. And it's just the credit card rates the credit cards are unsecured debt, and it's just gone up like everything else has gone up. So I don't believe that this is going to get straightened out in the next 4 years, but we'll see.
Well, I don't even know. Where would you start?
I have, boy, that is a good question, isn't it? Because the Federal Reserve rate is only for the bank lending rate. So I don't understand how anyone could think that could relate to the credit cards, because they actually think JP Morgan Chase is just going to lower their...
I'm really surprised that nobody drops it for... In all these banks have to have some clients that their credit history and so forth would should give you a better rate than 25%. But I used to, you know, back in the day, I used to have a credit card rate. It was 7.5%. That ship has sailed. Even though I never missed a payment. You keep raising. Oh yeah, well, we got to raise it up. Why? You gave it to me because I had a good credit rating, and now you took it away. I never even used it yet.
I mean, I'm shocked because I have Medicare, and then I have the Part D supplement.
Yep.
And I called and I said my premium doubled.
It did this year.
And the girl said, well, she said that's because of probably your usage. And I said, well, while we're on the subject, could you actually tell me what my usage was this year? And she was like, oh my, she said you didn't even hit your deductible, so it really cost Blue Cross Blue Shield nothing. So I said, well then, why am I being doubled? Why is it doubling? And she was like, well, shit, it's double. Take it or leave it. I mean,
there's no explanation.
Yeah, there's no... So, I mean, when we're talking about the credit card, I think it's because people can do it. I don't think anyone's turning down credit cards or anything like that. And we're going to go to digital currency, so who really wants to carry a lot of cash around on them anymore?
I'm not so sure about the digital currency part. We'll see about that.
No, you don't think it's going to happen?
I hope not. Actually, you know, it's pretty much digital. I mean, the way people wire money, right? I mean, it's already sort of digital. They just don't want anybody doing anything that they can't keep track of, and people don't quite get that. I mean, they don't understand that. Why? Because the young people, they don't give a crap. What's the difference if somebody knows I go to the Dunkin' Donuts every morning for coffee? It's nobody's business but yours. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's old guy talking or something, but they're a lot of people are willing to give up privacy and security for convenience, and I'm just not there. I mean, I'm just never going to be there, I guess. I mean, a little bit. I mean, I use credit cards, obviously. But, I mean, to the extent that you got to use them every little bit and thing where nobody will even take cash, well, I don't know about that. It's just not me.
I understand what you're saying. I don't particularly want digital currency. I don't think it's a great idea, but, you know, I don't get it.
I was surprised to see when I was at the Chris Kindle Market Wednesday. Oh, that's for a whole another show where I'll talk about my trip downtown. But I was surprised by the number of vendors who had big signs up, you know, above their windows, you know, cash only. And apparently, you know, this kind of took some visitors by surprise because they were used to just throwing it on plastic, you know, at this time of year. But it shows, I think, that the take in these companies on the use of your credit card has started to eat into the very thin profit margins of a lot of places. And they're just putting their foot down saying cash only. So I don't think people are prepared for that.
Well, you can tell the difference in some of the restaurants and bars that are, I'll say, south side. I'm sure it's not just that, versus north side. North side, some of them won't take cash. In the south side, they want 3% if you give them the credit card.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen a lot of that, but I haven't been on the north side to see what they're up to.
Yeah, because, I mean, they don't want you to do a... any kind of credit. Matter of fact, this morning at the Dunkin' Donuts, which we had a flea because it was freezing outside, I go, Greg, of course, had his card ready, but I pull out a 20 and the girl goes, hey, we just opened. We don't have any change. Why would you open with no change? I mean, what's wrong with this world? But that's just me.
It's because they're afraid of getting busted in the middle of the night. Nobody has cash.
Well, that's the truth. As a matter of fact, one of our friends, we got a dash here, Mick, you know, he's an attorney guy, and he's has a space there in the office. Nice guy. He and his wife are all fired up. Evidently, there's a play about Mike Royko around. Jen, have you heard that?
Yeah.
Well, they scored some tickets. They're going Friday night. They're all fired up. So they go to have dinner at the place on Grand and Halsted, Las Carolla or whatever. And, you know, they park around the block, come out, wind is bashed in, his lawyer case is gone. So they end up not using the tickets because you don't want to go park there with the window open in case it, like, rained or snowed or something. So they end up going, I mean, you know, the city's rough. I mean, it's not good. And we don't seem to have any way of stopping it of any kind. But the world is not a great place for a lot of people right now. It just really isn't. And somehow we have to, I think some of the stuff the administration is thinking about doing makes sense. But I'm not so sure they're not going to get caught up in their underwear with crazy stuff. You know, because it seems like they do that. And maybe the guys around Trump this time will keep him focused. I hope they do. I mean, the last thing you want to do is spend a month fighting about daylight savings time. And really? I mean, that's not why we put you there, or somebody put you there. Just me. But Nance, I'll probably talk to you before on Christmas, but have a nice Christmas if I don't. Jan, you the same way. Jan, I think we're going to need you later in the week, because Thursday we're sort of open with and maybe tomorrow, because Dan and Lou are both out of town on Tuesday or on Thursday, so we'll figure it out. Might have a call on you again, yeah. Nance, because we had a short show today. Anyway, S&P futures down 7, NASDAQ futures up 32. Hopefully, we'll have a decent market week and not be doing crazy stuff. Back tomorrow, stock.
Merry Christmas, Nancy. Best
Merry
to your
Christmas,
family.
John. You too.
Yep.
That's all, folks.